You know that ridiculous way pet owners talk to their animals?
Who's my boy? You want a potty for daddy?
Yeah, he's the best dog in the world.
Yeah, you won't hear any of that here. This is the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Holly, we have with us as a guest on the line, Dr. Kristen Trierweiler, a guest we've had on the show before from the Clinton Veterinary Service. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Trierweiler.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Doctor, the reason we wanted to have you on the show is because, again, for the listeners who haven't heard your previous appearances, you specialize just in very large animals. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about what you do?
Yes, I'm a large animal veterinarian up in St. John's. I work on horses, cattle, sheep, pigs, alpacas, llamas, animals that are found on the farms, and most of my day is spent traveling from farm to farm to take care of these animals.
Well, and the question that I've got for you is, how do you do it with the size and the weight of these animals? I've got to imagine it just makes your job very difficult to do.
Well, most of our farms that have cattle do have facilities to help restrain the cattle. With the horses, most of them are you know, broke to lead and handle a lot on a daily basis. And so it's you find different ways to get around it. And in the cases where the animals are not as tame or we don't have the facilities, we do have medicine that we can give the animals to make them more sedate and calm so that we can handle them easier without risk of getting hurt. But occasionally I still do get hurt.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know how you couldn't. There's definitely a challenge with that. This morning we've been talking about draft horses. What is your experience with draft horses temperamentally as compared to other types of horses?
Most of them actually are quite docile. And I probably have more problems with ponies and small horses than I do with most of my draft horses. Despite their large size, they usually are quite gentle animals.
Do you deal, do you deal with many draft horses?
They're not a huge part of our clientele, but we do have a couple guys that farm with them, a couple other clients that use them for pulling carts for recreational purposes, and then a couple of our clients do use them for pulling competitions.
And when people do call you for a draft horse, for you to come take a look at their draft horse, what is it typically or mostly that they're calling you for?
Most of the time it's for preventative care, so their vaccines, doing their dentistry care, which is the same as doing it, you know, on other horses, just that we need some bigger equipment to restrain them with. That's usually the primary reason that we're called out to see most of those horses.
And when they do have these issues, do they typically happen at a certain point in life? Are you seeing where, much like human beings, age, and the more you do, the more the ailments occur? Is that true with these horses as well, since they're so hardworking?
It just depends on the horse and their usage. I mean, just like a regular our riding horses, they can have problems with their teeth and arthritis. But I wouldn't say they're any different than other horses in terms of the age of onset of those problems.
Well, as with certain breeds of dogs, there are certain conditions that they're predisposed to get, like a hip dysplasia. Is there anything with a draft horse that you see more commonly than you would with, say, a thoroughbred?
A racehorse.
Like a racehorse or
something like that.
Something like that.
They can occasionally, one of the bigger problems that we often see with them is arthritis in their foot joints. These horses do require to be trimmed on a regular basis, their feet, and sometimes even shoes applied to their feet. And when their feet aren't taken care of, it causes them to not walk evenly. And then we tend to see a lot of problems with these guys getting arthritis in their feet. Another condition that occasionally can affect them is if their harnesses are not properly fitted, they can get sores around their neck from an improperly fitted collar.
Do you teach people how to properly fit the collar if you find that that's a problem?
I usually don't advise them on doing that just because of my experience on that end is limited, but I do have some people that I can help refer them to harness fitters that can help them find adjust that fit. So actually one of our clients, he makes harnesses. And so oftentimes I'll have them take the horse right there to him and have him help adjust the fit on the collar.
Very nice. I do want to get back to the hoofs. I understand. You did mention that sometimes they get shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Are there, I just thought that most horses got horseshoes. Do horses have particularly thicker hoofs than other horses?
Well, most horses don't necessarily need shoes unless they either are being ridden on rough surfaces or being shown and ridden a lot, where that they would wear their feet down almost too fast.
Okay.
But most horses that are pleasure horses don't necessarily need shoes put on their feet.
Interesting. So when it comes to caring for them, how do the owners know what the environment is going to be like in terms of if they should shoe their horses? Because, again, if you've got a pretty good-sized piece of land, I would imagine that you haven't walked every inch of it and you're not quite sure where the horse is going to go in the pasture.
Well, usually I take a look at the horse's foot and see if they are, you know, and ask them how much they're going to be using them. So if they're going to be on a, for example, for a draft horse, if they're going to be carrying a bunch of people with a carriage on a paved road, which is all cement, that actually wears their feet down quite fast. In those types of situations, they would need a shoe put on their foot, or if they were very, they had a really soft or a tender foot. Some horses don't have a lot of hoof on their foot, and they actually tend to get really sore if they walk over rocks. And so some of those shoes, horses can benefit from having shoes on their feet, or if they're going to be in really rocky areas. But if you had a horse that you just kept on pasture, maybe rode around on the dirt roads every once in a while, or, you know, went back in the woods with, most of those horses don't necessarily need shoes. You can ask a veterinarian about that. And also most farriers are quite knowledgeable on that subject as well.
Very good. I have a question about their tails. I understand that typically a Percheron, for instance, gets their tails bobbed. Mm-hmm. And there are some Percheron owners that do not bob the tails. Can you tell me why one might bob a horse's tail and why one might not bob a horse's tail?
Yep, the bobbing of the tail is usually done at a young age if the owner elects to do it. And the reason for it doing is because when a horse swishes its tail, if they get it caught up in the lines or what allows you to control the horse when you're driving a carriage, it's a line that goes from your hand to the horse's mouth. And if they are swishing their tail and that tail gets caught up in those lines, they can clamp that tail down and start pulling on the line and inadvertently lead to the horse turning in some direction or getting very confused and making it very hard for you to control them. That, as well as when you're harnessing a horse, if you don't have this tail swishing in your face, is just, you know, part of its convenience and part of it is more for safety view in the horse.
It's a long tail.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Trierweiler, one of the other issues that I know you deal with most likely is the issue of the teeth. We've talked about that before. How often do horses need to have their teeth filed down to keep those sharp edges from really doing harm?
Depending on the age of the horse and what they're eating, anywhere from every 6 months to some horses can go up to 2 years between dentistry appointments. We normally check their teeth every year at their annual vaccine appointment, and then we base our recommendations on how often they should be checked based on that. Younger horses that are eating a lot of hay tend to create those sharp points much quicker than a horse that is on pasture where they don't have to chew as much, or an older horse that their teeth, they're not erupting as fast.
Gotcha. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show today. We've been talking with Dr. Christian Trierweiler from the Clinton Veterinary Service in St. John's. Thanks again for coming on the show. We really appreciate your information.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it was our pleasure.
Thanks, Kristen.
And Holly, we had a really interesting conversation this week. While I always miss my partner, Rick Pruse, I want to thank you for having filled in the way that you did, because it's such an interesting topic, these horses. And a lot of people, they see them, but they just don't really know a lot about them. So it's really been a great conversation.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's been fun. And if you missed any part of the show or you want to listen to previous shows, we encourage you to go to our website at 1320wils.com, where all the previous shows are there in podcast form. So on behalf of my producer, Mark P., and my other producer, who happens to be in the studio with me, Holly Rotter, and for my partner, Rick Pruse, who's hopefully on his way back to Lansing, and we hope all is well with you, Rick. This is Lee Cohen saying thanks for listening, and have a great week, and please, please take good care of your pets. Have a great weekend, everybody. He wakes up.